Blog Talk Radio.
Wow, good evening and welcome to ScaryCast. This is Dr. John Stamey, live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, bringing you the most interesting paranormal show you can imagine tonight. This is actually our second show for the year, and it's going to be a great one. I would like to introduce, of course, my wonderful friend and co-host and partner in paranormal crime, Robin McCray. How are you doing tonight, Robin?
I'm good, John. Great to be here as always. We do get in a lot of trouble together.
Now, we do, and how's Chester? By the way, so that everybody knows, Chester is my favorite dog of your million of them, because he just comes in and drops on my lap.
He's a pet rock. He's a pet rock.
Now.
He got all excited today. He got all excited. He actually trotted from the couch to the bedroom. We were all in shock that he made that much movement, but he's doing good.
What more can you say?
When it's cookie time, he's there and ready.
That's right. And I always look at him, and I always look at Animal House when I say, Chester, you are worthless and weak. So here's your cookie, and he always takes it. So thank you, Chester. I'm glad he has a sense of humor.
He gives you this look on his face whenever you're eating, like it's out of an Oliver Twist movie or book, like he's going to die of starvation. And he's such a little sausage. I mean, he eats constantly. But I've never seen a dog that with that much expression in his face, like his eyes just plead with you like he's going to die. He is not going to live another second without a cookie.
Well, he's right. Trust me.
I know.
He's right. I can mind speak with him, and he's always saying, John, I need a cookie. God, I need a cookie. Help.
I know. We put bows on him for the holidays. He was a riot. He's like a pet rock. Other than a female in heat and a cookie, that's the only time he wakes up. And he's been neutered, but those are the only two things he wakes up for.
Well, my goodness. So tell Chester I said hello. I'll send him a mind speak message, see if he gets it. So anyway, tonight we have the host of the Cryptid Campfire. It's a podcast out of Los Angeles, and this is Eli Watson. Eli, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good. I'm glad to be here. How are you?
We're glad you're here. I loved it when you sent me your bio, because I said, this is just going to be great. Your podcast is there. It started in 2018 to explore the world of cryptozoology and your interests of the occult, the paranormal. All right, buddy, start talking. We're ready to listen and talk to you.
Yeah. Well, I guess when we started Cryptid Campfire, and when I say we, I mean my co-hosts, Alex Daikaiju and my good friend Jasmine Maywith. And we started it in 2018 to kind of give people a diving off point, if you will, into this world, because a lot of it can be daunting. You know, a lot of people don't, I guess, know about all this stuff. People don't know that there's that much about Bigfoot, you know?
Exactly.
And so that's what we're trying to bring awareness to it, I guess, if you will. And so, but this also is a platform for me to dig into these things a little bit deeper than I would be able to if I didn't have a podcast. So,
yes. I mean, there's got to be a reason to do research. And I know that for me, one of my reasons is this podcast. The other one is, I'm an author. I've got several books out. I've got one coming out with Robin. That's going to be great. We're going to have a free ebook. Go to scarycast.com. You can get your free copy, and then you can come hear Robin, and maybe she'll let me talk a little bit at various events, and get a link to our lessons on mind speak and the paranormal. So it'll be fun, but I know what you mean. And it's really kind of cool. So now tell us about we got three topics here. We got cryptozoology, we've got the occult, mm-hmm. and the paranormal. So let's start first with cryptozoology, and how did you get interested in this? And what has it brought to you personally?
Well, I'll tell you this. I don't remember what exactly got me into cryptozoology, because ever since I was little, I remember being interested in Bigfoot and the Loch Ness Monster and the Jersey Devil and things like that. So that's been kind of a lifelong interest, but again, I didn't really get too serious about it till 2018 when I started the podcast. And it has, over the past year or so, it's kind of introduced me into a whole community of actually really nice people and people that I'm proud to call my friends, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm talking to you guys, and you guys are really kind. So
thank you. Well, I tease people about this years ago when, I mean, I had been involved with the Bigfoot since I was a toddler, but when I really got into like the Facebook crowd of people, that was a whole new awakening, because they're a whole act in themselves. But I started noticing that the Bigfoot, actually, they have a lot to do with putting people together, whether it's friendship or a romantic relationship or what have you. They place you where they want you to be. And I tell you what, I have met some of the best people I've ever met in my life, John being one of them.
Thank you.
Now you, which I'm grateful to meet. And they just bring a lot of really good people together. I mean, they know what they're doing.
Yeah. And so I'm extremely grateful that I decided to pursue this path. You know, in the beginning it was a little, I don't know about this, you know, first 5 episodes, you know, but it's picked up since then, and we've gotten fairly recognized, and I'm here talking to you guys, and very thankful, very, very thankful.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I want to ask you something. I know that when we get to the third topic of the paranormal, you have got some very, very interesting stories. So you're not just a tire kicker. You've done your share in the paranormal. Now, have you had any crypto experiences, like with Big or the Lizard Man or the Mothman or whatever?
No, I haven't. Not with anything like that. This is a funny story, but it's not really a cryptid. So we have this cat back in the day when I was growing up. So I grew up in a small town called Temecula, California. Very rural. We're famous for our wine.
Yay.
And so growing up out there. Yeah. Right.
Yay. Go ahead. Please go ahead. You got me cheering.
So growing up, you know, we always had a cat around to keep away mice and rodents and things like that. And so we had one named Poncho, and Poncho disappeared after so many years, and we all thought that, you know, he had died, the coyotes had got him, but every once in a while there would be this cat that would show up around the house meowing, and it was just a bigger cat than usual, but its color scheme matched Poncho's, so we called him the ghost cat. And he's still kicking around somewhere. Every once in a while, there's a sighting of the ghost cat. But that's our personal theory, is that it's Poncho. But, of course, there's no confirmation.
It is possible. I wouldn't rule it out.
Right?
Yeah, well, my husband, we're at his dad's house. This was prior to his dad passing. And I would go down there and help take care of his dad for a few days here and there. And Pat was at work, and there were many times Pat saw their old dogs that had long since passed running through that house. And the first night I went down there, I'd never even met his dad before. I went in there, and it was like I saw his mom there who had just passed. I saw these dogs there, all of which had long passed and been gone. But it was wild. But, yeah, pets will come back. You'll see them running all over the place. I have a picture that I took in my backyard. And it's this tree, and it looks like some cloaked figure, the head of it peeking out around the tree. And on the bottom, there's a picture that if you really look at it, you can see it looks like a dog. That's a goat.
Hmm.
So, I mean, it's totally possible.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know. But, yeah, that's about my only crypto experience. I don't think that really counts either, so...
No, it
does.
It's
a paranormal experience. Sure, yeah. It's paranormal.
Yeah, yeah.
So what
it really is.
You talk about on your show? I mean, like, give me some examples.
Yeah, so we talk about, we did an 8-episode series on Bigfoot. So for
great.
8 episodes, we talk about, you know, some of the Bigfoot research that has been done. Talked about the Patterson-Gimlin film, of course. Talked about the different types of Bigfoots around the world. You know, Bigfoots and their relationship with UFOs. And that sprung us into a whole 14-episode part on UFOs.
Yeah,
so,
where you see one, you see the other.
Yeah, I mean, and that's just scratching the surface, you know. Like,
yeah.
There's... You could do a whole podcast on UFOs alone.
Yeah. And, you know,
you could do a year of
there's UFOs that the Foots are okay with, and there's UFOs that they don't because they're trying to hunt the Foots down. So it just depends on which ones are there.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't. Yeah, so we got into all that. And so we just finished up our last season on covering sea monsters in general, and they're, you know, giant squids, you know, krakens and stuff like that, and that was really cool.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
The kraken.
We did an episode on the kraken.
Tell everybody about that. That's not something people normally hear about. Tell us.
About the kraken?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it goes back. You know, because the kraken in early Icelandic traditions is very different from what we've come to really think about what the kraken is. Because, you know, when I say the kraken, you're probably picturing a giant octopus or something of that sort. But in the early Icelandic legends, it was more this gigantic beast that was lived on the surface sometimes, and it was so big people thought it was an island, and then it would just sink back to the bottom of the ocean for 6 months to feed and then come back up. So, and
oh, wow.
You know, over time it's changed, you know. So in fact, they thought there was only
because I've got something I might add to that. Please keep talking.
Yeah, I was just gonna say they thought there was only 2 krakens in the world at that time, just because they were so big and that they were unable to reproduce, because if they were able to reproduce, they would just take over the world just because of how big they are. But I don't know.
Huh. And where do they say that the 2 are at?
Oh, man. I couldn't remember off the top of my head. But somewhere in Iceland, separate from each other, I don't know.
Yeah.
I could probably pull it up. Yeah, it's definitely a pretty wicked story.
That is pretty cool.
But what did you want to add,
John? About it, John?
Yeah.
In the Rendlesham Forest Code, are we familiar with Rendlesham Forest? That was the area in Britain near the Air Force Base where a UFO...
Yeah, with UFO.
It dropped in, and a fella touched it, and he got the Rendlesham Forest Code. And in it, there are places like Sedona. There are, you know, some of the standard third world country places where there are major cities. And there was one that is right off the coast of Ireland. And I'm trying to find it right now. It's terrible. I can't. Oh, hi, Brazil. And that was an island that people could see sometimes. And what you have done is you may have described something that could have been high Brazil. I mean, they would see it sometimes, and then it would just seem to drop. Now, are you a little familiar with high Brazil, Eli?
We actually covered that in one of the episodes on the podcast. We covered high Brazil.
Now, did you talk about the fact that it could be a Kraken? Maybe? I don't know.
We didn't cover that on the podcast, but that is definitely something interesting that I'm connecting now because of you. Definitely I see it as a possibility. But I do have to add this. Some of the sightings of high Brazil talk about giant rabbits being seen on the island.
Well, I know. Sounds like Lewis Carroll and Captain Wonderland. But here's the deal.
Mad Hatter's walking around.
Well, you know, we don't know about it, but high Brazil many times was in a fog. So I tell you what, Eli, maybe we can do some a little bit of research together about that, since you guys, I'd like to listen to that podcast and listen to the Kraken podcast and see if we can't somehow, you know, we can do that. And then here's what we'll do, Robin. We'll put together like a dossier like I do for Murder 123, and then we're going to get it to you. And then you can kind of like pass it. In other words, I know that you're good when you get some facts, and then you can zero in on things. So how does that sound?
That sounds like fun.
I think it'd be great, and who knows? I mean, I know they had giant rabbits, and some people said they went there. Now, on the Kraken, Eli, did any sailors ever say that they went there and walked on top of it?
No, I don't believe there's any reports of anyone landing at High Brazil.
No, or on the Kraken.
Oh, on the Kraken? I don't believe anyone's landed on the Kraken, but I could be wrong about
that.
Well,
you know, maybe when they landed on it, they evaporated or vanished underneath the sea or whatever. But it does, you know, what you have to do, I think, and Robin, see if you agree with me, whenever you hear two things that have a small relationship, you need to look at them and see if there's a true relationship, because this is the paranormal and you know, not all of the Bigfoot, you know, because some of it's pretty straightforward and we're comfortable with it, but there are a lot of things that, if you can take the tie-in between them, you might be able to find a relationship and at least come up with an idea of what they might be. I mean,
sure.
I'm beginning to find out, because I'm doing some research with radionics and this interesting property called STIC. And they talk about using radionics, which is a form of dowsing, using radionics to find ley lines.
Well, dowsing rods are great.
Yeah,
and, you know,
and
it's funny because the way they react to energy, I've got a set here that was given to me, and if you put those anywhere near anything with a high energy, they all on their own they cross. It's awesome.
Well, you know, the idea, and Robin, I sent you a copy of my short essay on STIC. That's like personal dowsing. That's like dowsing with your mind or dowsing with two fingers. Well, what's interesting is I have been given by several people who do know the existence and the location of several ley lines in Georgia. And they're not on any maps. But there's so much strange stuff. That's terrible grammar. There's so many odd things that happen right in and around there. And so I'm trying to figure out how to study. I mean, first of all, when you come to the next Georgia Bigfoot conference, I'd like for you to bring those, number one. Number two, I'm going to be there probably in 2 weeks, and I'm going to see if STIC, a property called STIC Personal Dowsing, can help me locate, or at least if I can feel the pulling or the tug of the energy of these ley lines. And so it's like, you know, when you start putting things together, it's kind of neat. It does lead to new discoveries. I mean, that's all science has ever done, is they've taken one thing, they've taken another thing, found commonalities, and then they can understand a different phenomenon that has elements of two different ones. So, I mean, it's like UFOs. I would never have guessed that a world MMA champion, Stuart Fisher, up in Silva, North Carolina, would be teaching me about ley lines in CE6 or the protocol to raise lights from the ground. I would have never guessed that, but as soon as I spoke at the Space Expo with Spruce Pine, he and his wife came right down. I mean, they avoided Michael Barra from Ancient Aliens, came to my table, and we talked for 30 minutes. And I've learned a lot from Stuart about that practice, the CE6 protocol, and how it may very well be related to ley lines. If it's related to ley lines, then we can use we can use personal dousing, and we can use just regular dousing to find out about it. To see how all these things work together, it's kind of neat. And I hope I didn't just blow past that. What's John talking about?
No, I think the ley lines, too, play an important key in all this stuff. The paranormal, the cryptids, everything. Okay? Everything wants energy. Everything is energy-based. The ley lines are energy-based. And once you get in deep with any of the paranormal stuff, it doesn't matter if it's spirits, if it's cryptids, or what it is, you're going to find somewhere buried in there the ley lines.
Yes, you are. And I think, and I'll go ahead and throw this out, and I haven't heard anyone say, John, you're kind of crazy on this one. But one thing I've found, Eli, is the magic of the cell phone. I always make sure that my cell phone is 100% charged before I go to bed. Now, sometimes I'll wake up in the morning and it's 99% charged. Sometimes I'll wake up and it's 4% charged. And in talking with Robin, I do know that spiritual entities very well can drain cell phones. Right, Robin?
Oh, yeah. Anything paranormal can. Anything that can pull the energy. The foots have drained them so many times, it's not even funny. I mean, they're just crazy. The amount of energy they can pull out of a phone. And they can also put it into a phone. But your spirits, your ghosts, all that, they can drain a battery in a heartbeat. Spirits need the energy to be able to do anything to get our attention, whether it's to try to come in some kind of ghostly form or communicate in some way. They have to have it when they're on this plane. So it's really easy for them to drain a battery.
Well, and you mentioned something that I just experienced yesterday. You said they can add energy to a cell phone. My cell phone was at 92%.
Yeah.
I drove around, I went inside Office Depot, came back, went somewhere else, then got on the road, and my cell phone was at 100%. I had not charged it. It was plus 8%. Now,
well, I thought, go ahead.
No, that's enough story right there.
Well, I've gone into certain areas in the woods and gone in with 100%, and in a matter of 5 to 10 minutes, be down to below 20. And then when I come out of that certain area, it goes back up again. And it's generally, not always. I mean, I can be out there with them and have them leave my battery alone. It just depends which one it is that's out there at the time. You know, so I mean, it's just generally when that has happened to me, there's been what's around.
And then when I had my experience near Clayton, Georgia, and my cell phone was at about 60%, and about 15 minutes later, it was at 17%. Which meant don't call John unless you need 911. And it was unbelievable. So, yeah. Eli, have you guys ever had any experiences with cell phone fluctuation of charges? It's kind of a neat thing.
Not that I've noticed, no.
Better start checking in your house because you got some neat stories. Tell us, let's go ahead, let's jump to that one because you were talking about some things that had happened in your house. You live with some relatives, I'm sure, and they're wonderful people, right?
Yeah. And so I live with my grandparents on my mother's side here in Los Angeles. And my grandfather's a very religious man, and he said several times that he has experienced seeing things, seeing objects move, seeing things float. My father actually will not spend another night in this house because of something that happened to him not too long ago, or a few years back. I'm sorry, give me one second. And so he was asleep in one of the rooms in this house, and he said that he was woken up. He was alone, and he was woken up by this firm pressing. He was sleeping on his side, so if you can imagine someone just pressing on his back. And he said he felt that, and when he turned around, there was no one there. And he said he felt that three times in the night, and the third time that it happened, he just got up and left because he wasn't going to deal with that. So, so all that happened before I moved into this house. And so I moved here about 3 years ago, and it took about a year before anything really happened. And the first thing that I ever noticed, it was about 10 p.m., and I was going to the bathroom. And from where the bathroom is in this house, you can see outside toward the garage. So we have an outdoor garage that's separate from the house with two large barn doors. And so from the bathroom, you can see, it's just, the window's just straight through, you can see it. But we also have an upstairs with a balcony that kind of hangs out over that window. And so there's a support beam kind of right in front of the window. And so the first thing that I noticed, I was going to the bathroom, and I saw a little girl wearing a pink shirt, and she was walking. And at first, I thought it was a regular girl. We rent out part of the upstairs to some tenants, and they have kids, but they don't have girls. They only have boys. So as soon as I figured that out, I was like, wait a second. And then she passed, from my point of view, behind that support post that's supporting the balcony and just didn't come out the other side. And,
oh, wow.
You know, and this is all from, I went outside to look because I thought my eyes were deceiving me, but there was no one there. And I have to add, too, that the speed at which she was moving was really, really fast. And I've had a difficult time explaining this because it was almost like she was running, but she was walking. I remember distinctly she was walking, but the speed at which she was moving didn't quite line up.
Was she floating while she was walking?
See, I didn't see her feet. So,
okay, because sometimes that will make them move faster.
Right. And so maybe that's what was happening with this next story was so that happened. And then I can't remember, maybe a month or so later, I was in my car on my phone talking to my girlfriend at the time. And from where I parked my car in the rear view mirror on the driver's side, I can see the front of the garage, the two barn doors.
Yeah.
But they're, it's not like pointed directly at me. It's like facing a different direction, but I can see them just fine from my vision. And so, you know, I was just talking on the phone, and I saw an older man with sweatpants. He had a polo on, like an old yellow, faded yellow polo on. He was clutching a little black bag, like really close up to his chest, with both hands clenching them. And he would just walked out of the barn doors and out towards the street. He didn't look in my direction.
Wow.
You know, I just saw it. And again, the same thing. And this time I saw his feet. And I can't recall if he was floating. It looked like he was just walking. But again, he was moving really, really fast.
Well, real quickly, did he just appear through the doors, or did the doors open and he came through?
No, the doors did not open. And if they did open, I would have seen them. He just walked out. See, the barn doors are locked on both sides, from the inside and the outside. So you can't get in. So solely through one way. You have to, there's a back door that you have to go in. It's like a three-step process to open up those barn doors. So there's no way that some guy would have just opened up those doors without me noticing, you know? He just walked out.
That's
of the door.
Awesome.
He just, it wasn't awesome in the moment, but
no,
it was scary, wasn't it?
It terrified me. It really did. And like I said, he didn't look in my direction or anything, you know, but it terrified me.
Well, yeah, it's not
so
something
then,
you would expect to see.
Yeah, definitely not at midnight. That's for sure. So that's about the time that I talked to my grandfather about this, and I asked him, you know, I told him about what I had seen, and I asked him, are these real people or are these ghosts? And he told me straight up, he's like, they're ghosts. And he said, so that's the thing, like, you don't have to be scared of them because they're right here, right now, you just can't see them.
Right. That's fantastic. I like this philosophy on that.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't exactly make me feel better, but, you know, but, and that's when he prayed for me that I wouldn't see anything more because of how much it was scaring me, you know? And
yeah.
So, and since then, I haven't seen anything, but I have experienced things. And so, and that's where this next part picks up, and that's, so I was in this, I was home alone one day. I forget where my grandparents went, but they were out of the house. And I was packing up, getting ready to go visit my parents over the weekend. I'm packing my clothes. And the electricity in the house just goes out completely. And sometimes that happens. It's an old house. It's actually 100 years old now. It was built in 1920. So sometimes the servers are, you know, a little old. You got to reset them.
Right.
So I was, you know, they go out. You know, I have nothing to be completely suspicious about at this moment. So I go out, and I say this part because it's important, because this is how I know I was alone in the house, because I had to walk through the house in order to get to the servers. But as soon as I got there, the power came back on by itself. I was like, sweet, don't have to deal with that. Right? So
and you said that's happened before, right?
That has happened before. That has happened before. Yeah.
Okay.
So I didn't think that was anything weird. But I go back into the room, and, you know, I have walked through the house twice now, and I have noticed that there is no one home. And I know they're gone because they told me they were leaving. Anyways, so I'm home, and there's two doors in this room. There's one that leads to the kitchen and one that leads to the living room. And both were closed. And I'm in there, and I'm packing my clothes after this happens. And there's
so
a knock.
You're in your bedroom. You're in your bedroom, right?
Right, yeah.
Okay.
And so there's a knock. There's a knock on the door that leads to the living room on the other side. And at first I thought I was hearing something. Because like I mentioned before, we do rent out the upstairs to a tenant. So, and sometimes, you know, they drop something, kind of sounds like a knock, but it's upstairs, you know? So that's what I'm thinking it is. But then there's another knock right there at the same door, and I see the door moving. You know, like, you know, when someone knocks on the door, it kind of jiggles a little bit, and I was seeing that. And so, you know, I didn't open the door. I called up one of my buddies, and I was like, please talk to me right now. Something weird's going on. I'll tell you about it later, but I need something to just kind of distract me from this. And that was the end of that one. But to this day, I still don't really, I don't know. I don't know what that was. But so the next couple are some dreams that I started having after that. So the dream I had was I was driving home. I had just arrived home at my grandparents' house from somewhere, and my grandmother was standing next to the driveway, and she was smiling and waving at me. And so I smiled and I waved, but there was a woman standing behind her, and a woman I hadn't seen before, but it was a woman my grandmother wasn't aware was behind her. I knew that she didn't know that she was there. But this woman behind my grandmother was staring at me. And, like, I told John earlier, but it's just, I felt like a bad feeling, like some malevolence, I guess you could call it, just towards me. And I didn't, you know, this old woman, you know, I had that dream twice, exactly the same way, on two different occasions. And then based upon, you know, the sightings that I have seen of the ghost coming out of the garage, I've always felt that the source of the paranormal activity here wasn't in the house, but in the garage. And I had a dream of me and my two friends, Pepper and another one named Vito. And so Pepper's a devout Christian. I don't know about Vito, but we were making a movie in the garage. Well, we were about to. We had the barn doors open, and the scene was that they would have to go in the garage. And so Vito and I started going towards the garage, going inside, but Pepper pulled me back and told me not to go in there. But the next thing I knew, I was in the garage, sitting crisscross applesauce, looking out those open barn doors as the garage started to rotate on the property. And I was basically seeing a full 360 view as I was moving in the garage. And I don't know about that, but that, and that's all I've really experienced so far. So,
Robin, do you have any?
Very interesting.
Do you have any guidance on what that might be? Because you're good on dreams.
Well, the dreams. I mean, dreams can mean a lot of things. I mean, there's just dreams that are just random thoughts that you've had because you've been thinking of or doing something during the day. But a lot of these paranormal entities will come to you in dream state. And
right.
So you have to kind of go on it by a dream-by-dream basis to understand that they do. I mean, obviously we know the Foots do it, dogmen do it, ghosts do it, whatever. People will say that a loved one that's passed, they came to them in a dream state. Coming to you in a dream state is much easier and much safer for them than coming to you when you're fully awake. But being in dream state is every bit as real as well as every bit as dangerous as it is when you're fully conscious. You're just in a different dimension or a different plane, however you want to look at it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you have to take it seriously. You know, I've had dreams where the Bigfoots will come and tell me something or how to do something. And then I'll act on it the next day, and it always plays out the way it's supposed to. I mean, I get a lot of people that contact me, and they're like, you know, I really want to get involved in this research field. And all of a sudden, I've never dreamt about them before, and they're coming to me at night, and they're saying this, and they're doing this. And I'm like, yeah, because they're trying to reach out to you, and it's safer for them to do it in that way. It's also, it doesn't take as much energy to do it that way. I don't personally believe, but that's my own personal thought. You know, I know at the Foots, it's definitely 100% safer for them that way. But like with spirits, I always have had the feeling in my experiences is that it's easier for them to contact you in dream state. When they try to come onto this physical plane that we're on, the amount of energy is absorbent for them. They have to have a lot of it to even do the simplest things. Like I've been at work one day, sitting there, and we're having a meeting, and I've watched a coffee mug, just go right across the table. Everybody in that room jumped 10 feet up in the air and made it out of that room so fast to make your head spin. I'm just sitting there because this is my normal. So I wasn't really paying attention, you know. And they do, but they need energy to even do that small act. So it is easier for them to come in a dream state, in my opinion.
Yeah. But Like I said, I haven't had anything else happen in a while. I mean, that probably happened a good 10 months ago. So.
I think that's awesome.
Maybe even before, yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny. I had a group of researchers come out to my house, not the house I'm in now, the house before here. And they were all out because the Bigfoots were out during the night. And these are people I trusted immensely. Otherwise, I would have never let them come. I've always been extremely, extremely protective of the Bigfoots and who I let around them. And so anyway, I had my friends that were over there. One of the researchers does EVPs as well as the paranormal research and the spirits or entities or whatever. And first he did a EVP reading, and it popped up, and it had, when we listened to it, and I'd already seen this little girl in my house. I was laying in bed one day night watching TV. I was wide awake, and I looked over, and she was sitting next to me on the bed. She was sitting on her knees, and she had her hands up like she was saying prayers, and she was praying. So I already knew she was there, and then I'd seen her one time in the bathroom as well, walked from the bathroom out into the bedroom. So he does this EVP reading, and here's this little child's voice on there talking about my cat. And then she said, you know, she referred to me as mommy. Probably because she doesn't have her mama there, and she saw me with my children, you know. But she was talking about how the cat was pretty and the cat purred. So it was quite interesting. But he went outside that night, him and the other two people that were there. They were just going to see if they could see any of the foots walking around the yard, which they did. But right before that, he was looking around, and he watched this apparition float from one side of my property to the other. And she was like 4 feet off the ground, and he saw the whole body. She was in like a wardrobe you would wear, like maybe 1600s, 1700s, something like that. And she free floated right across the driveway and off and into the woods. And then right after that, a few weeks after that, I was outside. I took a picture at a collie. And I was taking her picture. I wasn't trying to get anything else. And in the picture looked like a Confederate soldier in uniform standing there.
Mm.
So, yeah, I mean, we never had any problems with it. I mean, I have dealt with angry ghosts in one house that I lived in, especially. But for the most part, they've been pretty friendly.
Yeah, I mean, they don't bother me, and I hope I don't bother them. So, I mean, seemingly I don't bother them since
friendly.
They haven't done anything.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, things do happen here at my little place. I hear knocks frequently, and I told Robin that it was maybe 3 weeks ago. I was awakened. The doorbell rang, and it rang and rang and rang and rang. I keep the light on in my kitchen, so it looks like I'm always awake. So it was about 3 a.m. It was ring, and so, and I woke up. I said, "What is that?" So it stopped for a minute. Then it did it again. So I went to the door and I said, "Hello," and it was said, "This is so and so. I live in 4B. I've been here for 4 years. I just need someone to talk to." Well, I know the people that live in 4B, not her. And the more I thought of it, first of all, I thought, well, someone was going to roll me. You know, someone wanted me to open the door. But then the more I thought about it, that had to be something from another plane. Because I think around here where I live, I don't think anybody, I know the people, I've been here for 2 years. I mean, if I don't know them personally, I've talked to them, you know, just coming and going, and none of them would do that. And I said, this is just not a good time. And I listened carefully for about 5 minutes and never heard anything move away from the door. And that's what gave me the idea that it had to be a ghost.
Yeah.
Especially when the voice indicated apartment or condo 4B. And I know who lives there. That's the cell phone guru guy. And his daughter, who has a brand new baby, and I don't think she was coming needing to talk to me at 3 a.m. I just don't. And I asked him.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, and so that's when I got the idea, and I got my Bible out and got my butcher knife out and stayed up till the sun came up. I wasn't going back to bed. So, you know, it's we have lots of things that happen, and I mean, I guess I said we have lots of things happen, and that's probably the best thing I could do was get the Bible and the butcher knife and just wait it out.
Yeah.
And listen to rock and roll. I mean, that's what I did.
There you go.
So, I mean, you know, I didn't know what else to do. I figured that came to mind, and that's what I did. So
yeah.
I think we've all had some interesting experiences. And so, Eli, so other than, like, the Kraken, and, I mean, so what are some of the other things you guys talk about on your show? Because, I mean, this sounds really great. I'm gonna keep listening to your show because I enjoyed it. I mean, it was very good. So what are some of the other topics you guys talk about?
We talked about at length for three episodes, actually, Project Blue Book. I'm sure you've heard
of
that.
Our friend called Project Blue Book. Talk to us.
Yeah, Project Blue Book is the government, the U.S. Air Force
cover up
of UFO activity and sightings, and, you know, they would basically dispatch people to investigate whenever someone had a UFO sighting and then try to explain it away as being a weather balloon or some other type of explainable phenomena, and, like, completely disregard any of the high strangeness of the, you know, situation. You know, if someone's car died, you know, through electromagnetic pulse, you know, it wasn't because their car died out of an electromagnetic pulse. It's because you forgot to put gas in the car, you know, and that was just Venus you were looking at. It's like,
sure.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And this is real, you know, thousands of cases. And
yeah.
There, of people doing that. But what we focused on was a particular man, J. Allen Hynek, Joseph Allen Hynek, because he started as a skeptic. You know, he was hired on as a science consultant for the U.S. Air Force to investigate this and explain them away. But as the years progressed, you know, he began to change his mind on flying saucers and extraterrestrials, and became a believer in the end. But, I mean, the whole swamp gas theory can be attributed to him, unfortunately. But he did a lot of good, but he also did a lot of damage before he did any good. So.
Yeah, Robin and I have a friend, Angelia Shear. She's the president or executive director of Tennessee Movement. We got to meet him before he passed away, and she said he was really quite. Well, Robin, what was the word? She said he was quite wonderful. He had really changed his mind and started believing.
Yeah.
He knows what kind of experience he had had. But, you know, things like that they're very real.
Yeah, exactly. More so than people want to believe. It's just hard to get people to understand it because they have a hard time wrapping their head around it.
Mm-hmm.
See, I have a friend.
Sure.
His name's Kyle, and he lives up in Statesville, North Carolina, and that's about 40 minutes from Charlotte. And for the longest time, he would just, you know, during the summer months, he would just go out, get his lawn chair out, and, you know, one of these recliners, and he would just lay there and watch the night sky. And he told me that, you know, after about 6 months, he was very familiar with the air traffic at night and what was going to Douglas International Airport and what was going into Statesville Airport and what was going into Hickory. But he said it wouldn't fail that every night there would be two or three lights in the sky that were doing something they shouldn't be. And he said it was quite amazing that there were that many, and he called them UFOs. He didn't have anything else to call them. I mean,
right.
He said,
yeah.
But there they were. He said, I know what the night sky pattern looks like. He said, it's different on the weekends. It's different on Saturday and Sunday than it is Monday through Friday. Because, you know, and we all know that that's the weekday versus the weekend. And he said it was just amazing how much he saw. And I'll never forget my buddy Mike and his fiance. They live up in a little town called Traveler's Rest, which is northwest of Greenville, South Carolina. And so I get there one night late because I'll stay there sometimes when I'm coming back from Georgia, working on the Georgia Bigfoot Conference. And I got there, and Mike was out there greeting me at the car. And I said, Mike, take a look at that. And he said, yeah, that's a plane. I said, Mike, that plane is going down where there is no airport. He said, it is, isn't it? Yeah. Now, that doesn't happen. Robin,
yeah.
Does that happen in real life?
No.
No.
No. I mean, yeah. Not so much.
And then what scared me was about 2 weeks later, he has a buddy that lives over in Traveler's nice house and has, you know, about 25 acres. And they took pictures of the sun, and I've shown them to some people. They took pictures of the sun, and there was like a little exoplanet around the sun. And they did it 4 p.m, which is about when the supposed Planet X system is coming along. So, you know, there's Travel Rest. Northwest of Greenville is a place to see a lot of crazy things in the sky. Now, speaking of Planet X, and I got good news for everybody. Our buddy Marshall Masters, who's been on Coast to Coast AM 15 times, he is the leading authority on Planet X, Nibiru, and he's been on Scarycast 3 or 4 times. He's going to be moving from California to Hayesville, North Carolina, just north of Clayton, Georgia. And so, Robin, we're going to be able to have Marshall Masters, the actual guru. He's, you know, because his buddy Dwayne is, they are putting together a business. It's a survivalist business, and it has to do with communications. And ever since I got my first license, and we started talking, then I found out who Marshall Masters was. So yeah, they're going to be at the next Georgia Bigfoot Conference, which is going to be the last weekend in April. And it's going to be cool because we're going to have Marshall talk about Planet X. And don't anybody think that thing is not for real, because I have pictures. Eli, you agree with a picture's worth 1,000 words, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
And so, yeah, so that's what we've got. We'll have Marshall. So it's just good to have these experts in and around us that we can talk to on our shows and enjoy doing it. Well, I'll tell you what, you know, we've really enjoyed having you here, Eli. You've got some great stories. You've got a great podcast. I recommend everybody go listen to Cryptid Campfire. Now, is there a link to it, or do you just go to Facebook and type in Cryptid Campfire?
You can go to cryptidcampfire.com, actually, and that'll link you to everything.
Great.
All right. I'll take you to our YouTube page, our Instagram page, our Facebook, our Twitter. You can buy your official Cryptid Campfire t-shirt on there as well.
Oh, cool.
Well, I'll tell you what. Can we do a trade for a Scarycast t-shirt for a Cryptid Campfire t-shirt?
Yes, we can.
Well, good. Well, yes, we'll have to do that. I'll send you two of them because I want to get Robin one too. It'll be great. We will wear them proudly. Absolutely, we will.
Absolutely.
So I guess
as I
have learned from Papa Stro, the Maestro of Wrestling, I just talked to him because I was on his show right before we got here. It's plug time. So if we would say what's coming up, and I will ask Robin to do this first because she's done it. Eli, I'll let you do it, and then I will close this out after another great episode of Scarycast. So, Robin, what do you have to plug coming up?
I'm going to plug the Sasquatch Genome Project or Dr. Melba Ketchum. That poor woman has gone through the ringer with all this and put her heart and soul in it. And those DNA results are as legit as they come. The world may not be ready to accept him, but it doesn't change the truth. DNA does not lie.
No, it doesn't. Well, Cassie's a wonderful lady. She really is. And
yes, she is.
Wish her the best. And we certainly want people to go to the Sasquatch Genome Project, take a look at it, and shoot her an email. She's nice. She'll reply like any good person would. So that's great. Thank you for that plug. Now, Eli, what have you got to plug? Maybe your next episode of Cryptid Campfire or what?
Well, we're coming back in the very first week of February. So we'll be back on the air with a bunch of new episodes for you guys to check out. But I also have to shout out one of my good friends and also fellow researcher, Tobias Wayland of the Singular 14 Society. He's a great guy. You should check
Wonderful.
Out his latest book, Lake Michigan Mothman. And that is some interesting sightings that he has compiled there into that book. You guys should check it out.
That's great. Sounds wonderful.
I want to talk to him because if when you finish my book, and I'll go ahead and tell everybody this. I don't care what you think. There's a story about a fellow whose life was saved because he was awakened after going to sleep at the wheel. And it was the Mothman, and he has very good reason to believe it was the Mothman. And the name of that fellow was me. So I believe that my life was saved by the Mothman here in Horry County. And I'd like to talk with Tobias because the lake – does that have to do with those Chicago sightings?
Yeah, 100%.
Great. Well, I'd like to – have you recorded that episode yet?
Say again?
Have you recorded that episode yet?
Not yet, no.
Well, I want to wait until you do, and then I want to give him a shout out.
All right.
I'd love to talk, at least just talk to him, and tell him what I experienced in what was it, 2003. I know what I experienced, and I also had the great fortune to interview the person that was in the last car over the Silver Bridge before it collapsed, and I've got some very detailed. Yeah, my buddy Eddie. Now, Eddie is in that book too. He's got a lizard man story of all things, and Eddie's not a liar. He's on the truth on that lizard man story. He knows some things about lizard man that only if you've seen it or have run the lizard man festival like I have would you know. So I mean, and his mother when she was 6 years old was in the last car over the Silver Bridge, and it was frightening. Some things were happening.
Oh, I bet.
And no engineers can tell me why they were happening. I need to interview some more people. I want to go up to Point Pleasant and check that out and talk to some people and see what our investigation for ScaryCast will come up with. So it's just kind of – it'll be cool. I'm looking forward to it and all that. And I guess I'm going to promote – Robin, I'm going to shamelessly promote you, me, Devin Tate, and Tony Pelosi for Murder 123 this coming Monday night at 10 p.m. And we've got a really interesting topic. I've got to get the dossier out. It comes from Lauren Christensen's book. He's a best-selling author. His book is called Cops, True Stories of the Paranormal. And we've got four stories we're going to talk about where cops saw ghosts. And they can be traced back to death. So I know we're just all the paranormal we can stand. So that's what we're going to do this Monday night on Murder 123. And I'll go ahead and shamelessly plug Tuesday night, 10 p.m., the CharlotteLion.com, NASCAR, Dirt Track, and Short Track Racing with me, Zach Beechler, and Brady Van Sickle. So that's going to be a blast. And then we come back on the regular routine of pop culture stars, WCW retro, and of course the one and only ScaryCast. So I want to thank everyone for being with us. I really want to thank you, Eli, for being with us. Eli Watson, one of the hosts.
Eli, it was great to meet you.
It was great. Thank you guys for having me on here.
And my friend Robin McRae. And I'll Robin, I'll be by next week, and we can talk some more about stuff. about cryptids.
No,
Dad,
we're
going to
talk every day anyway.
Well, I know that. No, multiple times a day. But anyway, it's great.
Yep,
I love Sir Kay. We had a good time here. So I want to thank you, Robin. Thank you, Eli. And we'll see you next week on the most frightening hour, or one of the two most frightening hours on the internet. The other one being Cryptid Campfire, the one and only Scary Cast. This is Dr. John Stamey saying good night from Myrtle Beach, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Take care, everyone.
Bye.